the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. On this, the second Sunday of Easter, many of us have been recovering from the excitement of last week, of finally arriving at Easter Sunday, and the joy of proclaiming Christ's resurrection. For Eastern Orthodox Christians, the week after their Easter Sunday, which happened to be the same day as ours this year, doesn't often happen, but April the 20th, the same as ours. And this past week for them has been called the Bright Week. What a lovely idea. However, perhaps during this week, as we have continued to hear sad and distressing news from around the world, as well as our own nation, perhaps it can be a little difficult to think of this week as a bright week. And this week, of course, we also mourn with our Catholic sisters and brothers the death of Pope Francis. Pope Francis had something to say in his last wonderful Easter Day sermon to the question of how we grapple with the reality of much darkness and suffering in our time. He said, "Brothers and sisters, this is the greatest hope of our life. We can live this poor, fragile, and wounded existence clinging to Christ because he has conquered death. He conquers our darkness, and he will conquer the shadows of the world to make us live with him in joy forever." So we are now in Eastertide, it is called, the seven Sundays of Easter, during which we continue to express our joy in the risen Christ. And this will continue right up to Pentecost on the 8th of June. Now, of course, we always express our joy in the risen Christ, particularly on a Sunday. But this particular seven-week period is important. And on this, the second Sunday of Easter, the Church's usual practice is to focus on Thomas, often incorrectly called Doubting Thomas, because there was far more to him than that. And part of the more is that he was always ready to question. So, Thomas, who is he? Well, firstly, we read in the Gospel reading that the disciples, all except Thomas initially, are fearfully waiting behind locked doors. What will happen next, they wonder? Jesus has been crucified. Can the words of Mary Magdalene, "I have seen the Lord," really be believed? Or has death had the last word? Apparently not, for Jesus appears to them in his resurrected body through the locked doors and declares peace to those fearfully huddled. And the word peace here has connotations in the Greek of sitting down in your heart, being quiet in your inner self. And this is now really possible because Jesus is risen and has conquered death. As he says in Revelation chapter 1, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I was dead. I am alive forever and ever." Now, where is Thomas the first time that Jesus comes to the disciples? Have you ever wondered about that? What he was doing? He's not huddled, afraid, behind closed doors. Perhaps he's not as afraid as they are. Or perhaps he's off doing something quite independent. And he has been an independent thinker all along, it seems. because we remember that he is the one who speaks out when the others do not. He is not afraid to voice his inner thoughts and awkward questions, even to Jesus. Do you remember the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11? Lazarus has died, Jesus' friend, and the other disciples hold back in fear when Jesus says, "Let's go to Bethany to wake Lazarus up." But Thomas courageously says, "Let us also go that we might die with him." He's not afraid like the other disciples. And then when Jesus says to the disciples in John chapter 14, "You know the way to where I am going," Thomas is the only one who says what the others are probably thinking, "But Lord, we don't know." So Thomas, a person who is indeed in touch with his inner thoughts and feelings and not afraid to be open about them. So, back to chapter 20 now that we were just reading from, where Thomas has now joined the rejoicing disciples and hears from them what they have seen and heard. Now, utterly true to his inner thoughts, he says, "Well, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." I think we can imagine that he longs to believe. He wants to touch Jesus. And he doesn't ask for general evidence that Jesus has been raised from the dead, but specifically evidence in the form of Jesus' wounds, the marks of one who has been crucified. And when Jesus appears again to the disciples in his risen, wounded body, he meets all the conditions Thomas has set. He doesn't reject Thomas's questions or doubts. Totally open to Thomas's need, he hears Thomas's intense longing, his yearning for an encounter with him, and he encourages Thomas to touch deeply. Jesus actually says, quite directly and shockingly, "Put your finger here, put your hand in my side." And the Greek word that is used here has the connotation of penetration. Jesus is utterly willing to have his wounds penetrated deeply. He is willing for Thomas to share in his sacrificial death and to be in an intimate union with him. And it is Jesus' total acceptance of Thomas's need and his willingness to respond to him that precipitates Thomas's supreme expression of faith. "My Lord and my God." Not just Messiah or teacher, but the recognition of Jesus as both human and divine. Thomas's expression of faith here is unparalleled in the Gospel, and it acknowledges that powerful sense of divinity that emanates from the wounded figure before him. And so, let us think of Thomas not as doubting Thomas, but as Thomas, a hero of the faith. The wounds of Jesus' humanity that those gathered see are the wounds that remain always with Jesus. The risen one is also the crucified one, and they are also the wounds of our humanity. The cross and the resurrection are always intimately connected. And so here on our Paschal Easter candle, you can see the brass nails. We have the Easter candle pointing to the resurrection and the light of Christ. And we also have the nails. So, what does the beautiful story of Thomas have to say to us? Firstly, we are called to be fearless in expressing our longing and yearning for God, and to be open about our questions. We're not judged by God for our doubts and our questions. And secondly, the wounds of humanity that Pope Francis spoke about so caringly and lovingly are also Christ's and our wounds. So we are not to stay huddled behind closed doors in the church, too fearful or comfortable to face the world's needs. We are called to touch the wounds of the world, to connect, to live out the resurrection of Christ, and to be involved in giving hope to the world. Now, I have just dropped something on the floor. I'm going to pick up because I want to show it to you. Today, you will find in the narthex a way of bringing hope to the world. This season from Easter to Pentecost is called by our Anglican Church of Australia Hope 25, and each church is encouraged to do something to spread hope. Well, we have developed our own small project here, and what we have is a prayer commitment card to pray for 5 minutes a day for our parish of St John's and the world. There's more detail on the back of it. I encourage you, in fact, I challenge you to pick up one on your way out, to take it home, sign it, and have it where you see it every day, and commit yourselves. There is a commitment sign-up sheet as well. And I want to see, we want to see, many names on there by the end of today. So we know that we as a parish are a people of prayer, a people who want to spread hope in the world. That is what we are called to do by the risen Christ. And I finish with the words of Pope Francis. Christ is present everywhere. He dwells among us. He hides himself and reveals himself even today in the sisters and brothers we meet along the way, in the most ordinary situations of our lives. He is alive and is with us always, shedding the tears of those who suffer and adding to the beauty of life through the small acts of love and hope carried out by each of us every day. The Lord be with you.